like to say that thank the Lord for this another opportunity to stand before my home church. A lot of faces I see out there I've seen all my life. There's new faces that I've grown to love dearly here. Things change a little. Faces have changed. These people come along through the years. The building has changed, but I thank God that what's preached from the pulpit had changed. Amen. It's still the same today as when I was lost and seeking the Lord. Amen. As I stand here tonight, I guess age does funny things to you. Your desires to want to do things get a little smaller, I guess. But there comes a point where my desires not to do anything far outweigh my desires to do things. My desire to never mislead somebody is great. I don't want to ever do anything to mislead anybody in any way. And my desire to hinder anybody from seeking the Lord, when the Lord's dealing with you, that's the time to seek Him. And I don't want to stand in any sinner's way. You know, regardless of what anybody's doing, what's going on, when the Lord deals with your heart, that's the time to seek Him. And I'm sure this church feels the same way. When we get too busy or too involved in other things to let that stand in our way from seeing lost sinners seeking the Lord and being saved, we've missed the whole point. We've completely lost it. You know, a lot of the world today really have completely lost it. This old-fashioned way that we hear preached about repentance and faith, they don't want to hear it. It's not a fast enough process for them, maybe. I don't know. They think they'll help the Lord out some way or another. People, that stuff don't work. Jesus talked about people being twofold more child of hell than than the people that teach them that. You are. I think a lot of them probably know they're not right, but they're just wanting to do. It may be a money thing to them. But there's a lot of people, they get deceived, and they think they're all right. And they don't seek the Lord. And if you don't seek the Lord, you won't ever be saved. I'm going to take a reading lesson here, and the Word of God is amazing. How something that wrote, to my estimate, maybe 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, could fit us so good today. I'm going to read from the first chapter of Isaiah here. And this first of it talks about the shape that Israel or Judah had got in. Let's read this here, beginning at the first verse. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, the king of Judah. He said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquities, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward." Listen to the shape they're in here. Why would ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more, and the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. For from the soles of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not closed, neither bound them up, neither mortified with ointment. It says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as the overthrown by strangers. It says, and daughters of Zion, and the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now listen to this. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. I tell you, these first nine verses of Isaiah were written at a time about Israel and the shape they's in. But you look around us today, and I think we all agree that this Word of God fits our country here today. It says that the daughters of Zion are left as a cottage in a vineyard. I tell you what, you get in a vineyard, a grapevine will just overtake everything. I think that's what he's talking about. He's just been overtook. He was talking about the strangers overtaking it. But it says here, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. We should be as Sodom, and we should be like unto Gomorrah. You know, friends, there's a lot of things that you could have chose to do here tonight that the world is busy about doing. But you know, we really ought to be thankful that we're in a very small remnant. You know, lost friend, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you ought to really thank God that you have another opportunity to come to a house of worship that upholds the truth, that believes in letting sinners seek the Lord until they know that they are saved. You know, Israel here was in a bad shape, but it wasn't a shortage of religion, I don't believe. I don't think it was a shortage of worship that they were trying to do. You know, you could go a lot of places tonight, and even in Brother Lowe's prayer, I heard him mention that there's people out there that just deceive them. There's people out there that are just putting out untruth, trying to get people in. You know, you could go to them and they'd try to tell you, just accept the Lord, or just believe in Him, or do that, you'll be okay. But you know, I'm going to stand here tonight, and I'm going to preach just what Jesus preached. He said to Nicodemus, we're all familiar with Nicodemus, that conversation he had in the third chapter of John. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, the world don't want to hear about being born again. They don't want to hear about repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus, that you have to believe with all your heart, and it's not even in your ability to do that. When you repent towards God, He'll grant you the faith to believe in Jesus. You can't do it on your own. That's what the third chapter of... get in there. Went by it. Ephesians, excuse me, second. That's what it says. It's a gift of God. But you know, the world is busy today. They don't want to hear that repentance towards God. But you know, I'm going to stick with what the Bible says. I'm going to stick with what Jesus preached. You know, there was a Pilate mixed some blood with some sacrifices. And I don't fully understand that, but he did. And Jesus said, do you suppose these Galileans were sinners above all men? He said, nay. He said, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. I said, Jesus preached repentance. You know, there was a tire that fell on some, killed a bunch of people. Jesus said there, it's in the 13th chapter of Luke. Look it up. He said, you suppose that these that that tire fell on were sinners above all sinners? He said, nay, except you repent, you should likewise perish. You know, Paul, when he was standing on Mars Hill, you know what he preached? He preached that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Amen. You know, that's what I had to do. If you've been saved by the grace of God, that's what you did. Those that are might be among us tonight that are not saved, if you ever get saved, you'll have to repent towards God and trust in the Lord Jesus. You know, we said that, well, I don't think that it was a lack of religion that Israel had. You know, the next few verses, they go on to, and it talks about Israel and their sacrifices and what they was doing. You know, but I thought about, in the third chapter of John, I thought about a woman at the well. We're all familiar with her. And she questioned Jesus. She said, our fathers say in this mountain is where we ought to worship. And you say, at Jerusalem, man ought to worship. I'm going to turn and read that because I don't want to miss a word of it. Fourth chapter of John. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when thou shalt neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. It says, ye worship, ye know not what you worship. Said, but we worship, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. He goes on and says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This Samaritan woman, you think, you look how sinful she was, but she'd had some teaching. She had had some religious training somewhere passed down through the line. She knew. She said, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh. And I know, which is called Christ, when he shall come, he will tell us all things. So this woman had had enough religious training to know that there was a Messiah. You know, these Samaritans, they were looking for a place to worship. They worship up in the mountains, and they sacrificed. Jesus told her, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus plainly declared to that woman that he was that Messiah that she was looking for. You know, even in Isaiah's day here, you know, Israel, they were sacrificing. They were doing, trying to fulfill the ceremonial law of God. Let's listen to what God said about this. Here Isaiah refers to these people as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He called them that. He said, "Hear you the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah." Well, that was thousands of years before Sodom and Gomorrah, that sinful city, had passed away. But here Isaiah was comparing these people, through the Lord was comparing these people to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen to what he says here. He says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord?" He said, "I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, and of the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or in of lambs, or of he-goats." He said, "When you come to approach before me, who has required this at your hands to tread my courts?" He says, "Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Always with it is iniquities, even thy solemn meetings." He said, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth, for they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them." He says, "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." It says, "Wash ye, make ye clean, put away the evil of your doing. From before my eyes, cease to do evil." It said, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." Listen to this. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." He said, "But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." These people in this day, there was no shortage of religion in Israel. You know, they were still doing their offerings as the Old Testament, they were instructed, the laws. You know, it even says here, "When you come and appear before me, who has required this at your hand?" You know, God established them sacrifices. God established them. You know, but they haven't been but one sacrifice that God has ever been satisfied with. And that's the one that Jesus came and performed on the cross of Calvary. You know, all these other sacrifices that these people did down through the years, for them to be of any good, they had to point towards that one sacrifice that God was going to accept. That's what they pointed to, is to that innocent shedding its blood for the sin of the guilty. But you know, you read the 10th chapter of Hebrews and said it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But it talks about Jesus making an offering for sin once. And it was accepted to God. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father till his enemies be made his footstool. You know, tonight these people here, they were trying to worship something. They may have even been religious. They were religious people. But I tell you, just going through the motions of worship or religion doesn't do you any good. You know, the Bible declares that he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You know, as I thought tonight, I would love to be able to tell somebody how to repent. But you know, that's not my ability. You can tell that you've got to do it. We had to do it. You know, but somebody to repent, to turn from the things of this world, from your sins, and turn towards God, how to do that, it's not within man to tell somebody how to do it. I'd love to be able to tell you how to completely trust in the Lord Jesus, but I can't do that tonight. I can't do it. It's not within man. You can tell somebody you've got to trust in the Lord, but until they completely rely upon him, put their well-being, their soul, their eternity into his hands, and know he's the only hope they have, they can't ever completely trust in him. You know, as I thought about when I was lost, you know, I remember seeking the Lord. I remember trying to think it through. I can remember trying to maybe even bargain. I'll do this or I'll do that. But I was none the better. It just kept getting heavier. And I just kept feeling bad. I know that I was guilty in the sight of God. And if I left that world, left this world in that state, that hell would be my home. I truly didn't want to go to hell. I'd heard enough about it to know that it wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil and his followers. It's a place of torment. It's a place of burning fire, a literal fire. You read the account of the rich man. It tells you. He says, I'm tormented in this flame. But you know, I didn't want to go there. And they become a time that night that I just quit trying to bargain. And I become a beggar. I pleaded. I remember pleading with the Lord to save me. There was a moment of time in there that I can't fully tell you about. But I know that trouble left and peace come in my heart. And you know, tonight, that's the very thing I'm depending on when I leave this life. What God did for me that June the 4th, 1977. Been many times since then that I've been able to feel his spirit. And his spirit bared witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. You know, the world don't really know anything about that, majority of it. A lot of religions out there, isn't it, Brother Lowe? Preaching a lot of things will tell you just do that. Just do this. But I'm going to go on what Jesus said. You must be born again. I wish that I had the ability to tell you how to do that. But I don't. Neither does any other man fully. You can say what the Word of God says, that you've got to repent, put your faith in the Lord Jesus. But that's something that you're going to have to do for yourself. There can't nobody help you with it. That can't nobody tell you when you've got it. You know, the world's busy about telling people, if you did this, you do that, I believe you've been saved. Don't listen to them, friend. That's not biblical. I can give you an example of 11 men that Jesus was talking to, and he said, one of you has the devil. Going to betray me. You know, they all reasoned in themselves. Who could it be? Is it me? But you know, they couldn't look in Judas' heart and tell he wasn't a saved man. There was two of them there that night that know that he wasn't right in the sight of God. Jesus and Judas. I tell you, those other disciples did great things while they walked on this earth. Lord, give them ability through the Spirit. They even healed people. But never once did they have the ability to look into somebody's heart and tell them how they stood with the Lord. That's between you and God. It was that way then. It's that way tonight. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There won't ever be a new, easy way to get saved. It's going to take the same thing. It took the same thing for Adam as it does the last one to get saved. That repentance. Turning from the things of this world. Turning from your ways. Turning from sin. And turn to God. And place your faith in the Lord Jesus. That worked 2,000 years ago. It worked 36 years ago when I seeked the Lord. And it'll work tonight. Wished I could tell you how to do it. I can't do it. You know, I've often thought, I've seen a little baby or a young child was real sick. And how it just wanted, couldn't do anything for itself, but how it just held to its mother. And I thought about Jesus saying, all them that come to me must come in that childlike manner. You're not able to help yourself, and we're not able to help you. You just have to completely rely on Jesus and go to Him. You know, Jesus was sitting there. He took them children in His arms. And He blessed them. I tell you what, if you'll come to Jesus in that manner, His arms are open tonight. And He'll take you in His arms. And He'll bless you. You know, I thought religion rampant through our country. You listen to the news and they'll give you a great percentage of Americans that are Christians. And look at the shape we're in. We're just like what Isaiah was talking about here. Yeah, there's a lot of people that worship. They're just looking for a place to perform religious rituals. There's a lot of that in this world. You could be there tonight in a lot of those places. Leave this one, go to another one. But religion won't do you any good. I thought about two men. They were both seeking after something. Both went to the same place. They went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, very religious man. He prayed within himself. He really boasted towards God on what he was, how religious he was. Said he fasted twice a week. Well, that's what the law instructed him to fast. He thought he was really doing a good thing. He's a real religious man. But he said that other one, that publican, he was a sinner. He was a tax collector, despised. Said he wouldn't even so much as lift his eyes towards heaven, but smote upon his breast. And said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You know what Jesus said? He said, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. They both were wanting to pray to God. God heard one of them. The other is like these sacrifices. They were just a formality. That's what you need to do tonight, lost friend. You need to cry out to God for mercy. That God will give you something that you're not deserving of. You won't ever be deserving of. That's what mercy is. It is unmerited favor. But that's where grace comes in. You beg for mercy, God will give you grace. He'll give you that that you're not deserving of. And that's salvation. Grace, unmerited favor. May God help you tonight. We might have a song here. I don't know where anybody stands with the Lord. But you know, it's not necessary that I know. It's between you and God. He's the one that you'll have to repent to. He's the one you'll have to place your faith and trust to. Religion, a form of religion won't help you a bit. We heard about that today. Brother Miller preached that people go through the motions of doing things, but they hadn't did what's required. And that's repentance and faith. May God help you.
Just after. 293.